Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
We're back. You ready? Tim and Sid. Hour number three. Swell!
Did you hear it's opening day, Sid Sixero? This is the biggest day in the history of Toronto. I haven't seen a day this big since Rob Ford tried to hike a football.
Go, Leafs, go. Go, Leafs, go.
Or chant go, Leafs, go in a robotic way.
Or try and get off a scale.
That poor bastard. I'll never forget that. He's trying to lose weight off the scale. He was calling the Louisville medical staff to help him out.
We're hearing first pitch will be 7:30 for the Blues, the Blue Jays, and the Cleveland Indians.
I saw the lineup from 7:15 to 7:25. Stomp the Yard will perform.
Oh, nice.
They're going to come on the field and stomp.
I thought Alan Thicke would come out and perform an opening ceremonies with Andrea Martin.
Also, 7:10 to 7:15, they're going to run the Best of Bazaar on the Jumbotron. John Biner, nice. And Super Day.
Nice.
5 minutes of the best. It's good stuff. It's like Carol Burnett outtakes. It's hilarious.
NL Cy Young Award winner R.A. Dickey gets the nod for the Blue Jays. The 38-year-old will take on Justin Masterson, who, by the way, despite his 4.93 ERA last season, had some success against the Jays. If you remember last year's season opener, he went 8 strong, striking out 10, allowing just one before Chris Perez blew the save. Started the second half of the season, though. He came to Rogers Center and dominated again. 7 scoreless, got a 1-0 win.
Did you hear the update with Barb?
No, I was actually...
You were fighting Greg Wyshynski, weren't you?
I was going to say photo bombing, but I guess it was podcast bombing.
Podcast bombing.
Yeah, Merrick and Wyshynski.
We're within eyeshot of the Merrick Wyshynski pod, and those guys are just on fuego.
Yeah. If you don't listen to the podcast, do it.
It's a great pod. Tyler Bozak can't get tickets tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Arash Madani got him on mic saying, I don't know, it's kind of sold out tonight. I'm having trouble. The number one center of your Toronto Maple Leafs is having issues getting tickets.
Have you checked StubHub
for
lately?
Tonight's game.
Just to see what the numbers are on the Jays. Go to one of those secondary ticket markets website thingies and see what the numbers are right now for Jays tickets, because I think it'd be remarkably interesting to see. So don't forget the Tribe spent some money too. They brought in Nick Swisher, Michael Bourne, Mark Reynolds, Brett Myers, never mind Tito. Terry Francona brings the Indians to town today for the first of 3 games. Tomorrow, Brendan Morrow, Ubaldo Jimenez, and then on Thursday, Mark Burley, Brett Myers before the John Farrell reunion tour comes to town.
Tim, I got some breaking news.
You do?
I got some breaking news.
Is it from the NHL?
No. It is baseball related. Tim and Citizen, Sean Fitzgerald of the National Post.
Yes.
Is reporting parking at the stadium lot today at Rogers Center is $40.
$40 for parking.
40!
You mean underneath the stadium?
Underneath.
Alicia Keys.
40. Alicia Keys is here.
Opening night.
Some mitigating factors.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, mm-hmm. But I'm kind of shocked.
There's some extortion.
I think.
There is.
StubHub. How about StubCar?
Hey, listen.
CarHub.
Listen.
ParkHub.
Isn't this capitalism at its best? Supply versus demand?
Well,
they know that there is a demand. Hey, how about this, Sid? Take the subway to the game. Ride your bike. I know that's not you because you're from Mississauga.
What's a bike? Ride my bike. My neighbor was a mile away. A bike.
There's a GO train. There's other ways to get down to the stadium than to park underneath it.
$40 for parking down at Rogers.
That shakes you to your very core, right?
Just to see the number. To see the number is odd. So thank you, Sean Fitzgerald, for updating.
It's expensive. It's expensive.
But on the flip side of it and kind of where you're going, I'm not stunned.
Right.
It's one of those nights down there, right? Yeah. So
opening night, 52,000 going to be on hand. and Alicia Keys is playing at the ACC.
You want a you want a parking tip? Seriously? You're driving in tonight. Tim and I know the building well. You go up to 370 King. You can park outside. There's a great garage slash parking area outside, or you go underneath, walk down three blocks south, and you're there. And you ain't paying $40. I'm just telling you.
And you can go to Pizza Rustica on the way.
Pizza Rustica. Oh. Outstanding. Gretzky's is on the walk. So if you can get into Gretzky's.
But Gretzky's isn't good.
Gretzky's is great.
What are you talking about? You're just going in for something free. Gretzky's isn't really that good.
That's not the point.
It's kind of cool. Nothing good.
All the memorabilia. Hart trophies. Find me a restaurant where you see Hart trophies. You see it at Gretzky's.
Gretzky's is awesome.
What's going on?
$69 is the lowest ticket price, apparently, that you can get a ticket on StubHub. And that would be section 524.
Cool.
Good seats, 6-0, like section 115.
Yep.
$2,200.
Are they also awarding a World Series trophy tonight?
Is that per? That's per ticket. So that's $4,400 for two.
Goodness gracious!
My goodness! Forget $40 for parking, 6-0.
Can you imagine
$4,400 for a pair in section 115?
How douche a move would it be to pay $2,000 a ticket and complain about parking prices?
By the way, thank you, Giancarlo DeRocca, who went and did the number for us as well.
Oh, that same number. I see.
Mike Bove, production assistant of the show, did his due diligence quickly, and Giancarlo DeRocca also did it, which is why I love the Tim and Citizens.
Yeah, Tim and Citizens, if you do work for us, we will acknowledge you.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. I believe we have a match game, too, going on, Tim.
Yes, we do. The match game today is... haven't been this excited since blank. And given our topic of conversation, Brent writes in and goes, I haven't been this excited since I found parking for $35 next to the Rogers Center.
Tim, can I throw one out there that just cuts me to my core? And if I don't read it now, I'll forget.
Okay.
It's from Derek. I haven't been this excited. By the way, hold on. I should say his full name. Derek Marquez or Marx.
Right.
I haven't been this excited since the morning of the Euro 2004 final.
Hashtag damn those Greeks.
Aristeus, you bastard.
Szechuan Kenobi writes in.
Repeat the name for him.
Szechuan Kenobi writes in.
That is fantastic. Well, Szechuan Kenobi 24.
I haven't been this excited since Sid mentioned Tweed. Hashtag Hastings County represent.
Throw it up. Hastings County.
Brent writes in, I haven't been this excited since I found Tele Latino one Friday night at the age of 12.
Thank you, The Adventures of Elizabetha.
look at the name that I almost read. Almost read.
Yeah,
I can't do that one.
Can't read that. What was the other one you were
Craig
talking?
Craig writes in and says, I haven't been this excited since Manti Te'o's girlfriend started following me on Twitter.
Hi, Manti. How are the guys? Hi, you know, I'll be okay. I'll be Manti. I'll be okay. Parking's $40. Roger Center. It's okay.
Keegan writes in and says, I haven't been this excited since the video store allowed a 12-year-old Keegan to rent Porky's for his sleepover.
Good times, dude. You know what was good, too? Porky's 3.
A lot of
which was kind of the same.
There was a peephole.
Yep.
Hey,
guys, come over here. Look at this. And the movie's over. And, 2 hours of that.
And Carl Dahl writes in and says, I haven't been this excited since I was invited to the Minnesota Vikings boat party.
Look, man, I'm engaged.
There was another one there, Timmy. You said to me earlier, and I don't have it in front of me.
Which one? There's some that I edited for the purposes of radio.
Turn off your mic for 2 seconds.
All right.
You got that one?
Yeah, I can't give it credit right now.
Okay.
I don't know who wrote it, so I don't want to get...
But they'll know. Like, you know. You wrote it. You know.
Right, but now I've ruined it because I've made it, like, suspect...
I don't know.
Suspect in English.
I just couldn't remember. I couldn't remember what it was.
Oh, it was George who wrote it, and I haven't been this excited since the loss... since the launch of Crystal Pepsi. Is that the one you were looking for?
No, that's pretty good, though. That's pretty good.
I'll just, the one that you're talking about, I'll just float it in somewhere along the line.
All right. Yeah, right.
Someone will get credit.
A surprise is best.
Before we get to Jeff Blair, I just wanted to get a little basketball in today because I've been waiting a long time to talk about this, Sid. And I figured given the circumstances surrounding tonight's Knicks Heat game, I might be able to squeeze it in here.
Yeah, go ahead.
LeBron, D-Wade, and Chalmers are now sitting against the Knicks after sitting against the Spurs. And the Knicks has been an ongoing topic of conversation between you, I, and Sam Mitchell when he's allowed to join us. And I guess as good as time as any is we're going to get it in here. But in the midst of their 8-game winning streak, I'm coming back around. I started weary. Sam Mitchell convinced me they were good. Then the injuries hit all the old guys, and I'm like, these guys aren't going to do jack. But the reassessment and the evolution on this team and the revelation that is Kenyon Martin may give the Heat some – think about the front line. Think about the Heat's weakness, and think about the front line the Knicks can put out there. Melo, Kmart, and Tyson Chandler. And – if Amare gets healthy, that's just icing on the cake. Is there any way that a front line like that could be able to combat the Heat in a 7-game series?
No.
Okay.
Because they play way better defense than the Knicks. The Knicks were playing good defense to start the season. I think it comes down to defense. I really do.
But
Knicks can score.
Can they defend that size, though? Like the rebounding margins may be remarkable in a series like that.
I think... And I still laugh at the suggestion. I think a guy like Chris Anderson has changed that team a lot. I think underneath the hoop, they're a lot more responsible than they used to be.
Yeah.
And I think they can.
I will enjoy, if they end up meeting up, I will enjoy the matchup between J.R. Smith and whoever they put on him. Because they might end up putting LeBron James in an attempt to shut down J.R. Smith, who, when he is right, when his mind is right, is one of the more undefendable men in the NBA. I know that's saying a lot about J.R. Smith, but think about it. He can shoot it, and he can take it to the rim. Like, it's a scary combination.
Can't LeBron fit J.R. Smith in the palm of his hand?
But remember they moved LeBron onto Derrick Rose and changed the complexion of the series against... That's why LeBron is ridiculous, because he can guard anybody. By the way, before we go all baseball all the time, Utah won their 5th straight game. Someone warned you about the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Utah Jazz now a half game up on the Lakers for the 8th and final playoff spot.
Don't sleep on Dallas. Dallas is a game and a half back on the Lakers, too.
I know. And the Celtics lost in mini. They've lost 7 of 9. Now just a game and a half up on the Bucks. That means we could see a Celtics-Heat first round. I don't think the Heat want to see that.
I don't know if the Celtics want to see that.
No,
either.
They don't want to see it, but they're not going to get by them. But they're going to give the Heat everything they've got.
KG's
got
to come back. If KG's out.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Yeah. But you know that they've given the Heat all they can handle and more every time. It wasn't that long ago that they went to 7 games.
It's true. But that's going to be the problem of these Eastern Conference playoffs when we get there. Like, Heat v. anyone. Like, we're going to have to convince ourselves.
That's what I'm doing right now.
There's a shot.
That's literally what I'm doing right now. Trying to convince myself that the Knicks might have a chance because of their size and that the Heat just love giving, the Celtics just love giving the Heat problems. That's what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone else? The Heat, they get up 4. It's enough basketball. About 4 minutes.
We got an in.
Coming your way live from Rogers Center, 4 p.m., Primetime Sports, Bob McCallum, Stephen Brunt, Geddy Lee of Rush, Jays players, management. You ready for this, Sixero?
Let's do it.
Opening day, opening pitch, right here, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Now, more Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I think there are a lot of people rushing down to Rogers Center this evening. What? Rush!
I get
Neil Peart!
I get
drumming.
It. I get it. Geddy Lee's one of those guys rushing down to the Rogers Center.
Cheeser.
Sorry.
Since Xero to McAuliffe, we are T-minus, let me do the math, 18 minutes away from first pitch.
I think your math might be a little bit off.
Around 7 o'clock, 7:30. You can listen to the game here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. See it on Sportsnet. Sportsnet's pregame starts at like 5. 800,000 Sportsnet employees are down at Rogers Center. It's going to be a cast of thousands.
I was going to say, I'm glad we have our next guest on after you heard the brother of the wonderful Sid Sixero, Alex Sixero, tell you the lineup that has been posted for the Toronto Blue Jays today. If you missed it, Reyes, Cabrera, Batista, Encarnacion will bat cleanup. Lind in the 5 spot, Aaron Sebia, Rasmus, Meiser Asturias, Bonifacio playing third base, and then R.A. Dickey is the starting pitcher for this team.
All right, it is on paper. John Gibbons has penned it in, and that is your starting lineup for tonight. Here to discuss, and I believe he's down at the Rogers Center already, host of the Jeff Blair Show, 9 to noon, here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Jeff Blair himself. How you doing?
Greetings, guys. I'm doing well.
So when does the Mark DeRosa controversy begin?
it's better than talking about Ricky Romero, to be honest. I mean, we didn't get much mileage out of that for 4 weeks, did we?
No. Great point.
No Mark DeRosa controversy, gentlemen. No Mark DeRosa controversy.
All right. Where are you and what are you seeing right now? Paint the picture for us.
Well, actually, as I look right now, I see the back end of Bob McCowan.
Oh, nice.
How's the view? Does it look really cranky?
Standing right in front of me talking to Mark Hebscher. So there you go.
Nice.
No, they look fine. Hebscher's dressed really well. McCowan looks awesome. He's got a sweater on.
Wow. One legend talking to a regular guy.
Exactly.
And you can figure out which is which. I'll let you figure it out.
I'll let you do that.
Love them both.
No, you know what? There's a ton, and I mean a ton, because as you well know, I'm not given to over-exaggeration.
No.
There is a ton of media down here. It looks like CH has actually got their whole, evening news crew down here.
Isn't their slogan CH everywhere? That's not their slogan, is it?
No.
I'm thinking of something else, sorry.
Hey, come on, man. This is one of my local broadcasters. Cut them a break.
No, they're awesome.
There's a ton of people down here. We've talked about it a lot in your show and in every show. There's anticipation. I mean, I was walking around downtown. I went for lunch there. A ton of people wearing Blue Jays hats and jackets, and some of the bars were already filling up. So, and I guess part of that might be Champions League, but I think a lot of people are getting are in the bullpen, so to speak, before the game tonight.
Getting loose.
Getting loose.
The author of Full Count: 4 Decades of Blue Jays Baseball, available for sale on ebook today. Jeff Blair joining us from the Rogers Center.
Yes, hardcover April 11th.
Hardcover April 11th.
You know what I'm talking about. a little hardcover, you know.
I'll tell you what, boys. When it comes to hardcover, anyhow.
Hey, can we keep it clean, please?
Yeah.
Come on, Jeff.
Says Sixero.
People are driving their kids home from school, for God's sake.
I was going to say, Sixero's telling us to keep it clean. They should just stick a microphone in the prep room during the noon to 1 hour.
Stick a microphone in the prep room.
Let's not go down that road, Johnny 9 to noon.
Okay.
Blair, you've covered enough baseball to know where this ranks. And Sid brought up a splendid point earlier in the show about how hype has kind of changed since 1993, given blogs, given how sports fans can now consume sports 24 hours a day. Could you argue that there's more hype surrounding this team than the 93 team that was coming off a World Series victory?
Yeah, you know, in 93, 94, I was covering the Montreal Expos, and I talked to somebody about this actually a couple hours ago, and a guy made an interesting point. People need to remember, one of the things that overshadowed spring training in 1994 was the knowledge that there was probably going to be some sort of labor disruption. I mean, we were talking about a potential baseball strike all through spring training. So that whole spring training, there was almost a wistfulness to it. And, you know, yeah, the Blue Jays were coming off back-to-back World Series, but I think there was a real concern on the minds of most baseball fans that the baseball season might not be completed. And I know Pat Henkin told me that, he said the mood in that team around spring training when guys got there. You know, they had a veteran team. They had a lot of guys that were involved in the Major League Baseball Players Association. A lot of the conversation was about contracts and about the collective bargaining agreement. So I think, you know, looking back to where I was in Montreal at the time, and remember, the 93 Expos had a pretty good year, and a lot of people were really pumped. The 94 Expos were going to be really good. They were really good. People were excited about that, but it's different now. You know, you don't have people tweeting, love this team. You know, you don't have people talking back and forth in real time. And I really do think that you can't compare the two. Everybody's engaged in this, you know, and I don't necessarily know if that was the case the last time.
Jeff Blair here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jeff, how many opening days is this for you? If you can go back to the 50s, how many opening days is this for you?
No, every opening day since 88.
88. So you've seen a ton. Yeah. What's your best over-the-air opening day story that you can tell?
Well, it's not the best story, but I'll tell you the most memorable. It's funny because I got an email from one of the writers who was with me. I want to say 17 years ago, if you remember, home plate umpire John McSherry died on the field. He was calling the game between the Reds and the Expos, opener in Cincinnati, and he collapsed, and I was covering that game. And they stopped the game right away. You know, they replayed it the next day. That's not a happy memory, but that's the one indelible memory I have of opening day. And a couple of us who were there, one of the writers from Cincinnati, actually just exchanged emails yesterday because he said, hey, remember where we were when this happened. So that's kind of the overriding memory. Not real jolly.
No.
I realize that's not like popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack, and all that. But that is the one that really stands out. Other than that, I would say maybe the last opening day in Montreal. Maybe the last opening day in Montreal because everybody knew what was happening.
Yeah.
That would probably be it. Boy, that's not real happy, is it?
No, two of them.
Hey, if you see Jeff Blair, tell him to call in because I don't know who this guy is.
Hold on.
One of the coolest things I saw, and this was the Expos, they had members of the Canadian Paratroop Battalion scaled down from the corners of Olympic Stadium wearing Expos jerseys with the players' names on the back. So, you know, nobody knew this, right? So the lights were killed at Olympic Stadium. A spotlight came on, and all of a sudden you're going, good Lord, that's Michael Barrett sliding down from the, you know, the 700 level. That was cool.
I think it's a window into Blair's soul. That's what I think it is. You can catch his book.
Let me close it just a minute.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's a draft coming in.
Let me tap the baseball expertise. Mark DeRosa tore the cover off the ball in spring. He hit .442. A quick look through Emilio Bonifacio's stats shows that he didn't play third last year. Do you know how much he played in the spring?
Third base?
Yeah.
Bonifacio. I don't know if he played third base.
So
he's at second.
He is at second? Oh, we got that he was at third.
That's not what we got here, Jeff.
No,
you have a different lineup?
Sturris is at third, I believe.
Sturris is playing.
That makes more sense.
We got Bonifacio was playing third base.
No, Sturris is at third.
Right. Okay. So Sturris at third, DeRosa coming off the bench.
I'll tell you what, he did not look real good at second base in spring either. So
interesting.
But that's one of the concerns I have with this team. I think Mycerus Turris is the better second baseman, and when Brett Laurie's healthy, I fully expect Laurie will be at third and Sturris will be at second.
That fella whose backside that you were looking at was convincing me yesterday that Bonifacio was the second baseman and needed to be the second baseman.
He's a better offensive player than his Turris, but the one thing about his Turris is he's better defensively, and also this is a guy who played for 7 years for Mike Socia, never had a regular position. He was never anybody's. He was never going to be the opening day second baseman. He was never going to be the opening day third baseman. He was never going to be the opening day shortstop. You know, son of a gun, had 300 at-bats every year playing for a team that was always contending, a team that was sometimes in the playoffs, playing for a manager that demanded perfection. So that's why, and I know from talking to John Gibbons, you know, John Gibbons is aware of that. I think by the end of the year, Mycerus Turris is going to have more games at second base than Emilio Bonifacio.
Jeff, we got about a minute.
Yes, sir.
You are one of the guys in this. You have talked maybe more about this team from last December on than arguably anyone in the city. You went down to spring training. You have turned this team upside down looking for angles and getting opinions. as we sit here a few hours before first pitch, is there something about this team that you haven't talked about yet that you would like to now?
Not really.
Okay. No. That's a good answer.
No. No. I mean, I'm being honest. What can I say? Yeah. I got nothing. You know, I got nothing.
That was a fantastic way to end.
You also had a three-hour show today. So,
So talk more about the Jays. All right, Jeff.
So more about the book, Full Count, 4 Decades of Blue Jays Baseball. Ebook on sale today in stores April 11th.
See, yes.
All right. Get it, because not only is he a good guy, but apparently people tell me I can't read, but apparently people tell me he's a good writer.
Sometimes I've been known to do that.
All right. Excellent writer. Jeff, we'll see you in a bit. We're heading down.
Thanks, guys.
Take it easy.
All right. Thank you.
There is Jeff Blair giving us the update, because it was a bit of a head scratcher for me to see Bonifacio at third base, but the information we had incorrect. Esturis will play third base.
Makes
Bonifacio will play second base. Lind, apparently, the DH. And Encarnacion.
Encarnacion. Encarnacion. Encarnacion.
First start at first base.
First homer of the Jays season tonight, Timmy. Encarnacion.
More random predictions?
Random predictions. First home run before they blow the lead. Edwin Encarnacion gives the Jays the lead.
So you have Edwin Encarnacion hitting the first home run, and you also have
a blown save.
Casey Jansen, friend of the show.
I mean, I'm not rooting for anything like that, but
no, but when you make that prediction, you're insinuating.
Casey's closing, right?
Yeah,
so maybe him. I guess it would be him. And I love Casey.
All right, we got you covered. Wall-to-wall coverage. Sportsnet TV starting at 5 o'clock, and we're already into it on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Fan on demand. You are clear to engage. Tim and Sid.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
Now Papa needs a little me time.
Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan.
It is guys like you, Dickie.
Oh, man, do I miss Aaron Laffey already.
He doesn't miss Cold End. He doesn't miss us.
Gave you a count.
I didn't hear it. I was too engrossed in the Dickie song.
This is how we can't please everybody every day. Kevin writes in and says, enough with that horrid Encarnacion song already. Bury it and just walk away, please. Jason writes in and says, finally, some acknowledgement of Jack Black's brilliant Encarnacion call should be used as his intro tonight. Can't win them all, kids. Can't win them all. Big question of the day, tweeted in by Aaron. Dome is closed tonight. Leather jacket or no leather jacket? Hashtag Sid Sixero. Hashtag knuckleball in your face.
Tim, would you believe me if I told you I've been asked this question maybe 7 times over the last 12 hours through Twitter? Would you believe me? Because it's true.
Yeah, I would.
Because it's true.
I was going to say, wait a second, but actually I know the people, or most of the people, that tweet you, because I deal with them every day as this Twitter feed comes up and down. Yes.
Let me tell you something right
now. Will you be wearing the leather jacket tonight?
To answer the question, no. I will not be wearing the leather jacket. If I wanted to, I'd be well in my rights.
Yeah, it'd look like a jacket.
Because it brings out my eyes. Jim Lang liked it.
Did you get some?
What? what are you doing after? No, I didn't. No. I don't want just Lang in the morning. I want Brady and Lang in the morning.
What? I don't know if that's better.
The best part is Jimmer listens at this time, like driving his kids around. So he's listening to this.
Can we do more of the role play of you and Jim Lang at the Jays game?
Nope, absolutely not. That's about as creepy as that tweet that you read.
I'll play you, you play Lang.
No.
So, Jimmer.
You want some peanuts? No, I don't want peanuts. I will not be wearing a leather jacket this evening at Rogers Center. And not because of anyone's critiques.
Okay, if we weren't doing TV and lovely wardrobe Deb didn't dress you before the show today, would you be wearing the leather jacket?
Absolutely.
You would be, right.
But it's opening night.
I'm not wearing it. I got a suit and jacket on.
You don't want to bring attention to yourself and whatnot.
That someone dressed you in earlier today.
Anyway, so no, I'm not taking the leather jacket.
You got a story of the day? The story of the day would be if you wore that. Can you do me a favor? We're set to be a part of the connected coverage of opening day. Would you just wear your leather jacket over your tie and your shirt? I'm sure Bender would have no problem with it.
Do you think I want the ridicule of walking around field level for the next? Like, you've seen the pictures. Everyone, like, every member of the Toronto media has a press pass right now.
Right.
Like, they're all on the field or will be in the next 2 hours. I'm not subjecting myself to that.
All right.
Absolutely not.
But you'll wear it next game.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Tim, your boy, Andy Enfield. The name ring a bell?
Florida Gulf Coast. That's the second most famous person from Florida Gulf Coast University.
Yeah.
You know who number one is? He won a game last night. Chris Sale.
I was going to say Felix Hernandez.
Also from Florida Gulf Coast University.
Wasn't Felix Hernandez.
No.
I was wrong. Chris Sale. Good pitcher.
Yeah.
Well, Andy Enfield is sailing away from that school. The rich guy who doesn't need the money with the hot wife.
Right. Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur who coached Florida Gulf Coast to a high standard in pop culture. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
He is now the newest basketball coach at USC.
Yeah, I heard that.
He is replacing the insane Kevin O'Neill, who was fired early last season. Some guy finished up the year. I never heard
right.
of him. But Kevin O'Neill, former Raptors coach, was the guy at USC for last season. So your boy Andy Enfield just continues to walk around with a horseshoe somewhere.
So that's two new coaches at the L.A. area schools, UCLA, Steve Alford, who said that he was going to spend the next 10 years in New Mexico. And
he's real good, eh, Steve Alford? He had that team ready for that tournament.
God.
Give me a break.
Hold on a second.
I can't get into this. I had him in the Final Four. I'm completely biased.
No, okay, you're biased, yeah.
I'm completely biased.
People were talking about his conference being the best in the nation.
They went 0-8, had two teams in it. Figure it out. Do the math. You had a great idea. Let's wrap up with a match game today.
Can I just say a little breaking news? The Vancouver Canucks have signed Chris Higgins to a 4-year, $10 million extension.
He's been solid for them. That's
a good sign. And it means that he's not going anywhere if there were to be deals to be made somewhere somehow.
Don't know how on the table he was, but he's officially off now.
Right. Take that, Kevin, because a bunch of people really, really like the Encarnacion song. So, and there's more random predictions floating in. The match game today, Sid, I haven't been this excited since blank. It is opening day at the Rogers Center. Sellout on hand. Sid and I will be down there along with a cast of thousands from Sportsnet. I haven't been this excited since blank. Alan writes in and says, the Raptors drafted Rafael Araujo.
It's a big day.
Huge day. In the same vein, Giancarlo writes in and says, I haven't been this excited since the arrival of Andrew Raycroft. That worked out well.
That was a good deal. Yeah. That was a Ferguson deal, right? That was
Tuukka Rask.
Yep. Good deal.
Yep.
Good trade.
All right. Sean writes in and says, I haven't been this excited since last year's Miami Marlins season opener. Ouch. That one hurts.
Was that the Muhammad Ali game?
Yeah, it was the Muhammad Ali game.
Oh, that was, my eyes can't unsee it.
Yeah. And then what happened to those Marlins after that? Like, that hurts in so many
levels. Jeffrey Loria traded Muhammad Ali.
AJ wrote in and said, I haven't been this excited since I discovered what the internet was really for when I was 14.
AOL. You know what I'm saying?
SJ writes in and says, I haven't been this excited since Zit Remedy recorded their first album.
Everybody wants something.
Let's go backwards again. Tinelli writes in and says, I haven't been this excited since the last Little Susie concert at Palazzo.
Is she playing there soon again?
And I will finish it by saying, I haven't been this excited since Joe Carter hit a home run on October 23rd, 1993.
It is going to be a hell of a night. We have been waiting for this since basically December. Since John Farrell left and Alex Anthopoulos laid it on baseball with some huge moves. It is upon us, Tim.
So we've got you covered for the rest of the day. You don't need to flick the channel unless you're going to go to Sportsnet Television and watch the actual game. Coverage starts on TV, 5 o'clock with Connected, 6:30 Blue Jays Central with Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn. Starting at 4 o'clock, mere moments from now, Bob McCowan live from Rogers Center. If you don't know, there's a baseball game being played tonight. It's the Blue Jays. It's the Indians. And tomorrow we got you covered wall-to-wall. NHL trade deadline.
That trade deadline thing.
We'll randomly call people and keep you up to date on what is transpiring there.
If the Leafs make a trade during the baseball game tonight, the city may explode.
Yeah.
Just combust.
Yep. No. Spontaneously combust.
And if Bargnani retires in the same time frame,
Forget about it. The city shuts down. Forget about it.
The city will shut down.
Could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate it.
We will talk to you tomorrow. Primetime Sports live from the Rogers Center is next. You've been listening to Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.